Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You can watch us on Twitch, not only listen, but watch us interact. Twitch.tv or download the Twitch app and follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's all brought to you by Fatties in DeKalb and our great friends at Miller Lite.
Formerly the Crystal Pistol.
Right, and some people have said that that's what they want to nickname Mitch, the Crystal Pistol. Let's talk about the Bears quarterback situation with JD, who has covered a quarterback competition or two. JD, how you feeling today?
Guys, I'm feeling wonderful. Nice early practices allow for a little golf in the afternoon on some of these days. You know how I feel like today, guys? You ever see Bubba Watson's caddy before? You know how Bubba Watson likes to yell at his caddy?
Yes.
Well, I feel like Bubba Watson's caddy today because I've had to kind of cool down the golfer I'm caddying for a couple times in the front nine we've played this afternoon. So this is a nice reprieve for me. So thank you, so I can step aside from being abused by the golfer I'm caddying for and talk with you guys. Of course, I'm out here with my son. That should be no surprise to anybody. And we are on to the ninth hole right now, and not sure how he fared on this hole, but by his look, I can tell you it probably wasn't great. So, guys, this is wonderful. Thank you, and let's talk some Bears.
Is he taunting you? Before we start,
he was earlier.
Yeah, what was he saying to you? What kind of taunt does Parker have?
This is the problem. This is the problem with him. I'm going to say this so you can hear me. This is the problem with him. You know, I'm on this nice roll. The first time out this year for us. And you know, we played a lot of golf last year together. This is the first time out this year. And I'm in some nice groove. I'm cooking. I'm long off the tee. And then all of a sudden, we get to about the fifth hole, and I hear, "Hey, don't embarrass yourself." And what do? Lose the ball. And I say, all right. I try to shake it off. Next hole. We're playing with other people, too. It's not just us. Next hole. I'm feeling good. Got my swing. Got my groove on. Yeah. And I hear, "Hey, don't look like a fool." And what do? Hit the ball OB.
Oh, no.
You know, he's one of those. So I'm going to give him to you guys again for our next, whatever golf outing we have next at ESPN 1000. He's going to ride with you guys. And you're going to really get the full experience of what old Bubba, John McEnroe slash, what are all the other
ill-tempered
professional athletes?
You cannot be serious with that drive,
that's what
Dad.
I get a lot. And then, of course, we got some group hitting into us. Ooh. And he wants to go wheel around and say some words. It turns out they're pros here at the course.
Oh, boy.
So I'm like, let's not do that here, champ. Otherwise, we're going to be packing it up early before we finish our front nine.
What an experience.
I love the family outings the Dickersons have. I just do.
That's fantastic.
Great.
JD joining us on the Corona Hotline. All right, JD, we had some fun with Matt Nagy's sound earlier because it sounds like there are some reporters who really want to frame this like Trubisky's getting better. And then we play the Nagy sound, and it doesn't sound like Nagy wants to take that bait yet. Tell us in your unbiased opinion what is going on with the quarterback derby.
I mean, my unbiased opinion is the head coach is the ultimate decision maker in all of this. He is going to make the decision who starts week one between Trubisky and Foles.
Greg Braggs isn't going to make that decision?
I don't think so. I don't think Cordero Patterson's going to weigh in on that. I don't think anyone else is going to have a real say in this. Now, the front office still believe in Mitch and want Mitch to succeed, absolutely, but the head coach is the one that has to make that decision. So every time the head coach is asked about Trubisky specifically, he is very meh. Now, I'm not overstating that, am I? You guys have heard the sound bites. I'm on those Zoom calls. We're asking questions every single day. Every chance that he's been given to rave about Trubisky, he has not done that. And remember, the last 2 years were spent with Matt Nagy effusively praising Mitchell Trubisky.
Right.
It's not like he hasn't done it in the past, but he's not doing it now. And then the mechanics are brought up. Oh, Mitch fixed his mechanics this offseason. Boy, Matt Nagy did not seem too thrilled with that question, did he, yesterday?
No.
Because Matt Nagy was not the one fixing his mechanics. He didn't think his mechanics up top, I guess, were a huge problem. This was done away from the Bears. So, I mean, look, he's the decision maker, and he has been very vanilla about everything. Now, I can tell you from our vantage point, and sometimes it's hard to see all the way, because like today, for example, they were practicing on the far field from us, and you know they're like 100 yards from where we are. So we can't see everything the way we can see it when they're on the field next to us. I would say the two quarterbacks look relatively the same. I haven't seen, guys, a huge difference between either guy. Some throws are good. Sometimes, occasionally, you get a bad throw. But I'll tell you what Nagy couldn't wait to talk about today was Trubisky stepping out of bounds on that goal line drill. When they're running first and goal from the one, and he takes a sack and steps out of bounds at the three, now that got the head coach going.
It should.
Trying to sort of, you know, lead him towards saying great things about Trubisky was a non-starter. So I would just say the guy I'm listening to is Matt Nagy. And Matt Nagy is the one that's telling us that, you know, he's not convinced that he's having a great camp or anything like that. I think he might be having an okay camp. I think he is, because we talked about the other day. He's just got to play, I think, so much better than the other guy because of what happened last year.
J.D., how about some of the other guys in that offensive huddle? We've heard a lot of great things about Jimmy Graham. I'm interested about where Anthony Miller is coming back from the shoulder and the rookie out of Tulane, Darnell Mooney. So the guys that are in that offensive huddle, what has impressed you?
Well, yeah, I think Anthony Miller looks healthy. He's going to be a big part of this offense. There's no doubt about it. I'm not looking too much at Mooney. I don't think that has been anything that's really, you know, come to fruition like some are making it seem like just yet. I mean, to me, guys, it's about Allen Robinson. It's about Anthony Miller. And, guys, it's about those tight ends and those running backs. I mean, to me, Tom, it's watching Jimmy Graham look actually pretty good.
Good.
Cole Kmet, doing everything they're asking him to do. You know, they're moving him around a lot, and so far it looks like he's processing that information. But Demetrius Harris is going to be a guy that's going to play a lot of snaps for this team as a tight end. And then I'm looking at David Montgomery and Tariq Cohn and what they're going to do with Cordarrelle Patterson at running back. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with everything. I think this year, you know, the dependence on the wide receivers isn't going to be as great as last year when the Bears had no tight end production to speak of. So, I mean, listen, I think that the offense hasn't looked bad. I mean, I have covered camps where you've seen that, where the offense looks just horrendous compared to the defense. And I wouldn't say that. I think the offense is playing better, and I think a lot of that is because the tight ends are better, guys, quite frankly. Now, I don't know if Jimmy Graham is going to keep this up when the season goes on, as it goes on here, but I got to tell you, through the first three padded practices, he looks good. He's catching the ball. He's getting open. He's a big physical guy going over the middle. That, to me, has been a big improvement.
And real quick, have you noticed Ted Ginn Jr. at all?
You know, he's going to be in the mix. He's going to be on the 53, obviously. They think that Ted Ginn is going to be a huge help to Anthony Miller, because Anthony Miller has not been a details guy at all. You know, that's been his real holdup, is that he just hasn't really understood the work aspect of this, being a professional, being a great route runner, knowing all the intricacies of the offense. And that's where they think Ted Ginn is gonna really shine. Look, we're talking about, you know, shortened practices here, guys. We're only out here three times. They're doing other stuff. They had their walkthroughs before. So to say that he's not doing anything, Tom, I think would be a disservice. I think his benefit's going to be, again, giving them more veteran leadership in that room and having some more speed on the outside.
J.D., to bring it back to the quarterback position, one more thing on that. This is what we were trying to dissect. Who does the tie go to start the season?
Well, some would tell you Trubisky because he's the incumbent. I think the tie has to go to Nick Foles. because I just don't think Trubisky was good enough last year to win a tiebreaker. I think you go with the quarterback that you trust the most. And I don't believe I'm speculating here when I say that Matt Nagy trusts Nick Foles. I'm sorry. I think they trust Nick Foles. I think the offensive coordinator trusts him. I think the quarterback's coach trusts him. I think the offensive line coach probably trusts him, Juan Castillo.
Just JD, let me interject this. Does that same mistake that Matt talked about with Mitch stepping out of bounds, does that mistake happen with Nick Foles?
I would say 39 times out of 40, it does not. I don't think it happens with Nick Foles. And these are the things that they're noticing. You know, this is what's important to them. Again, it just comes down to trust. Now, Matt Nagy is never going to say publicly he doesn't trust Mitch. I mean, he's not going to bury a guy to the media. That's crazy. But I just look at actions. You know, I look at why Nick Foles is here. And if it's just a tie, you know what Mitch has been in the regular season. And I think they know what Nick Foles has been in the regular season. And if you look at the overall body of work of Nick Foles in the regular season, plus the playoffs, I think that surpasses Trubisky. So that's how I look at it. I think if it's even Steven, it would go more towards Foles. That's how I feel.
How about two defensive guys? Jalen Johnson, the rookie out of Utah, who many believe will be starting at one of the corner positions, and the recent addition, Robert Quinn.
Well, Robert Quinn has not done much. He is on a different sort of timetable here. He had some personal issues. He had to step away from the team for a little bit. So they are ramping him back up. Matt Nagy was asked directly today, guys, if Robert Quinn has an injury. He said no. He says he's not hurt. He's just on a different ramp-up schedule. So really, Tom, there's no opinion of Robert Quinn yet because we haven't seen him in any team drills. Jalen Johnson, the clock is ticking now. If it wasn't ticking before, it is now with Artie Burns going on injured reserve today. You know, Kevin Tolliver can be the guy that steps in at the moment. But, again, they're not drafting a guy in the second round as a cornerback to sit the bench as a rookie. But Jalen Johnson has been, you know, not seen as much as the other corners. I mean, the first 2 days, guys, Monday and Tuesday, before Artie Burns, well, he suffered a Tuesday, the torn ACL, we barely saw Jalen Johnson on the field. Remember, he's had a lot of shoulder problems coming out of Utah, and that was a big problem with them, big reason why he slipped to where he did in the second round. So we have been told by the Bears that we are going to see more and more of Jalen Johnson here in the coming days and weeks. And I certainly hope we do, because if he doesn't win that starting job by, I'll give it like week 3, week 4, guys, then I think that's a disappointment. I believe Kyle Fuller, now again, Charles Tillman was in that backfield too, and Kyle Fuller won that job, and Tillman got hurt against San Francisco. I think that was week 2 when that happened. So Kyle Fuller was a first-round pick, and he became a full-time starter by week 3 his rookie year. I would hope for a similar situation from Jalen Johnson, and I'm sure the Bears do too.
JD, great stuff. Enjoy the round with Parker, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, JD.
Well, we're on 9, thankfully, and he's been yelling at me that I'm not giving him the right club here as I'm talking to you guys. And I'm like, you know, listen, buddy, I can't help you out right now. Finish the hole up. Let's get in the car and let's go home. Good thing it's our home course, so we live, you know, 3 minutes from here. But
I need a 9-iron.
Yeah.
Thank you,
what
JD.
What are you doing? See my drive? I'm like, I didn't see your drive. I'm talking to Mr. Tom and Sylvie. Get out of here.
Love it.
See you, JD.
Thanks, JD.
All right, see you guys.
There he is. So I thought that was interesting about the trust with Trubisky.
Oh,
if you want to weigh in on the quarterback, we've taken a lot of Trubisky calls, a lot of Foles versus Trubisky stuff, 332-3776. I also want to shift to baseball. It's a final. The White Sox just dominated Detroit all week. They have won 5 in a row. It sets up one of the hottest Cubs-Sox matchups in some time. And I want to set this up on what this means. All that's coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day, we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in the Chicagoland area. Today, we salute Old Town Poorhouse. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Sam Adams, an Old Town Poorhouse, helping you celebrate the return of sports.
Love Old Town Poorhouse. That's an old spot. They have 1,000 beers.
But Sam Adams being the best.
TVs. They have a lot of TVs.
Yeah.
They do. They really do.
They have everything there.
You know, Sam Adams you probably drink. Has 25 different selections.
Yes, they do.
They have the
Sam Adams stock is like almost $1,000 a share.
They have all the different Sam Adams flavors that like you don't normally. Like they've got, you get the regular and the Oktoberfest, but all the other stuff that Sam Adams makes. Get that
I had taken the advice of a buddy of mine who was working with them at the time when the stock was five, I wouldn't be here with you guys.
Why didn't you do that?
I didn't have any really disposable income at the time. I don't think the stock had like gone down. This was years ago, but the stock was at five. My buddy Phil was working on for him at the time. He goes, I think it's a buy. Like, I don't normally get stock tips from Phil, but he worked for the company at the time, so it wasn't insider information. He just thought things were going pointing in the right direction. It was five. I bet you Sam Adams stock right now is like 900 a share.
Black and Abdallah, you guys would get a kick out of this. Like 25 years ago, Waddle Down the Dial used to go into the sports office every day and talk about some oil company
off
the
coast
of the Caribbean that everyone should invest in. It was a penny stock, I believe.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Waddle every day would say, you guys are going to get rich. You better invest in this. And I don't think I've ever heard how that turned out.
I think I made a little bit of money on it initially and then not so much after.
All the interns, guys, would be wanting
all the interns.
To pool their money because Waddle was so sure that this thing was going to hit it big.
You guys want to talk about kicking the little guys? My dad, over the 4th of July weekend, shared a story.
Sam Adams is $852 a share right now.
He shared a story that in the late 80s, someone in Lake Forest told him about this coffee house, this coffee shop that he should get in on early.
Starbucks.
He didn't. Oh, he didn't, by the way, but... I was like, wait,
Do you know the story about the guy that was one of the co-creators of Apple? And I believe...
Wozniak?
Oh, was that him?
He was the other guy?
But he sold out for $50,000.
Yeah,
I think that's him. His position now would have been worth over, obviously $1 billion. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah, I remember back in the day when people used to say, boy, I wish I got involved in Blockbuster when it first came out.
Well, wait a second. Amazon. Amazon was a bookstore.
Sure, and it looked like it was going to go bad because no one was into books anymore.
That's right, and then the same with Netflix. You guys remember before they started streaming?
Yes.
How you had to go to the little Netflix box and how stupid it was in the mail? And
well,
people were like, all right, we're over this, and then
could get one DVD, you could get two. I had like three DVDs being delivered at once, and once you'd mail back one, you'd get your next one on your queue.
That's how I got the first season of Lost. I'm like, where are my other discs? Why are all these people watching my Lost discs? Yeah.
So that means we now have to find something that's low right now that will turn into something.
That's right.
That's what we have to be on.
Heard of this thing called TikTok? I think we should invest in TikTok.
My kids were showing me something from TikTok yesterday.
What was it?
I forget. It was just like all these crazy videos. My kids now are sold on this, and my wife as well, this show called Love Island. I know I've mentioned it.
Yeah.
Is it good? I've heard it's all the rage.
It's not for me, Chris. Like, it's salacious. Yeah. It's like Big Brother or The Bachelor where, like, they'll say any word and anything. Like, it's kind of almost, it's R-rated.
It's not American, though, right?
No, I think it's English.
It's English.
So what's the concept? Give me the elevator pitch. They go on an island and then they swap. Isn't that the deal?
Isn't there swapping if it doesn't turn out? After a period of time, it's like when the music stops, you got to find a different seat.
A cast of hot young singles arrive at a luxury villa looking for a summer of love and romance, hoping to leave the island with a grand prize of £50,000. Is that what they use? Pounds?
Yeah, pounds. Yeah.
And in order to claim it, they have to win over each other and the public.
Ooh. Like they do, like, okay, I'm going to get in trouble for some of this though, but there's a lot of like weird things. Like they had to use clay to make.
What?
They were using clay. The ladies had to use clay to make.
What are you doing with your hands there?
Like in Ghost?
Yes, but they had to make clay of something that, and whichever one was most
correct,
they won some sort of challenge. I was like, "This is my family. I have a whole house full of wife and adult children watching this on a day in and day out basis."
It's time to go to the other room then when that happens.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, dude, I'm like, thank God I'm watching hockey playoffs.
Yeah, we got so much sports.
I'm watching Cubs and Sox. Like I'm.
3 months ago, you would have. 3 months ago would have been a problem, but now you could go to another room and watch sports.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I just saw this, Abdallah, that you put up on the chat. So Lucas Giolito will be calling us soon, correct?
Yes, as soon as he's done with his Zoom press conference, he'll be calling us.
All right, Lucas Giolito, let me give you the numbers here. And then I'm stirring it up on Twitter then with Cubs and Sox stuff as we enter into the Cubs Sox series. Sox have now won 5 in a row. They whipped Detroit all week. They beat them today 9-0. How about the numbers from Lucas Giolito? 7 innings. No runs, 13 strikeouts, only 3 hits. He only walked 1.
That is some good stuff.
Tim Anderson continues to rake. He hit his 6th home run of the day. Waddle, after today, he is batting .379.
I think you can make a case he's a superstar already, but he is a superstar, certainly at the very least, to be conservative, he's a superstar in the making.
So Anderson homered, Aloy homered, his 8th of the season, and here we are, Waddle. The White Sox are 15-11, and the Cubs are a very good team as well at 16-8. So we have 15-16 wins. So I'm asking people on Twitter, the simple question is, who is the better Chicago baseball team? Is it the Cubs? Or is it the White Sox? Mm-hmm. You know, right now, you know, a lot of these stars for the Sox are playing like stars, like Tim Anderson. I mean, Moncada's not having as great of a year as you'd hope. Aloy's having a really good year.
They seem to be picking each other up, though.
Robert, obviously, he's been out the last couple of games. You know, and with the Cubs, you've got guys like Happ impressing, but people like Bryant and Javi, not. But then the Cubs starting rotation and what Yu Darvish is doing and what John Lester is doing and what Kyle Hendricks is doing. This is as good of a, and especially in the shortened season, to me, this is the best matchup of the two teams that we've had in years. Are you buying it?
Absolutely. I would think I'm a little nervous if I'm you right now.
I am a little nervous.
Because the Sox bats are alive.
They are. Now, the Cubs have kind of come and go, but the Cubs can pitch. And look, the one thing the Sox have shown, too, this year is, right when you think they're they're ready to take off, they'll have 2 or 3 losses in a row and kind of, you know, skirmish a little bit with the bats. And then they'll be back. You know, it's been a little up and down, too. But I think if you said to Sox fans coming into this season, knowing how young they were, that they would be 15-11 going into the first Cubs Sox series,
yeah,
you'd be happy.
41 home runs collectively from them right now.
So if you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776, Lucas Giolito. We'll talk about the Sox 5th win in a row, his career high in strikeouts, and preview the Cubs Sox series with us coming up next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Sox win on the south side 9-0. That's 5 wins in a row for the White Sox, 15-11 now on the year. Lucas Giolito dominated, 7 innings of scoreless baseball. He struck out 13, walked only 1, gave up 3 hits, and he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Lucas, congratulations. How you feeling today?
Very good. Very good. Always good when we sweep.
Yeah, always great to talk to you as well. Do you feel like now, after like some ups and downs early in the year that this team is really finding its way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, we had a couple rough patches that we addressed. I think that a big part of it was us coming together as players, holding each other accountable, addressing those things early, kind of nipping it in the butt, and then getting it going again, which is a big difference that I've seen this year versus the previous years.
Lucas, how has life been in this era of COVID-19 for you as a Major League Baseball player, and some of the freedoms that you have had to sacrifice to stay committed to the cause?
Yeah, it's weird. I miss my wife. She's back in California. I'm probably not going to see her until the season's over. My pets, it's different, but at the same time, we're here to do a job. We're here to come out here, win baseball games. That's the main focus, and I'm glad that we're doing that right now.
You know, you mentioned accountability, and we talked about it on the show, and Chuck Garfine joins us weekly. How important was what Dallas Keuchel said in Detroit?
I thought it was hugely important. You know, I kind of touched on that in the first question. You know, basically us coming together as a team, not necessarily needing Ricky to come in and kind of correct the ship, having that type of leadership from a guy like Dallas, letting us know, hey, this is what we're doing right now is not what winning teams do. We need to come to the field ready to go, be ready to win a ball game. And so I thought that we responded really well to that back in Detroit, and now we're just kind of riding that wave.
When you watch Dylan Cease pitch now, where are the improvements, and how important is it that he's been able to add what he has had to added to your rotation?
Yeah, I mean, his stuff is undeniable. You know, his mindset during the game is great. I think that the biggest thing for him is getting that experience under his belt, getting used to taking the ball every 5 days in the big leagues. And I'm very pleased with his development as a pitcher. I think that he's only going to get better and better.
You know, you were great last year, and big things are expected out of you. Are you starting to feel like, okay, here we go, I feel like I'm back into 2019 role?
Yeah, you know, obviously it was kind of a weird, we had a little bit of spring training where I only had one outing, and then it got shut down, the quarantine period, coming back for kind of a quick ramp up. I'm pleased with today, pleased with the especially the adjustment I made today in the first inning. The first inning's kind of been the bane of my existence this year, and today we were able to make the necessary adjustments to get it going.
What does it do for your psyche also when you step to the mound and you know that lineup you have on your side behind you is as lethal as it is?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, we have one of the best offenses in baseball, and the guys are showing that now on a daily basis. You know, going out there, throwing up a zero in the first inning, then getting three runs in the bottom of the first, it makes you feel good as a pitcher. You want to go back out there, get those outs quick, and get the offense going again.
Lucas Giolito joining us. Sox win today. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Lucas joins us on the Corona Hotline. Tim Anderson keeps on doing what he did last year. He missed some time. It almost looked like he had something to prove when he came back, that leadoff spot is his. How much swagger does Tim Anderson provide your team?
It's an undeniable amount. I mean, he's one of the spark plugs on our team, man. The way he carries himself as he goes about his work, he's loose and relaxed, but at the same time, very focused. He wants to improve every day. You know, his approach at the plate right now, it's only getting better and better, and he's got some of the quickest hands in the league. So it's just a pleasure to have him on the team and be able to watch what he does on a daily basis.
We talked a little bit about what Keuchel has added, but what about what Grandal and Encarnacion, guys who have postseason experience, and when you mix that with some of the great young talent you have as well, it feels like it is one of those fantastic mixes of young guys and older guys with great experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just The biggest thing is that we're getting closer, not just as teammates, but as friends. We have each other's back. We can go to one of the older, more experienced guys and ask them for any kind of advice, both on the offensive and defensive side. It's just a really, really good mix of guys we have in here. And so, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. We're just going to get closer and closer.
Lucas, where's the ceiling for this team this year?
Ceiling? World Series victory. That's the goal. Take a chance, championship back here, the South side. Obviously, that's hard to do for any team, no matter how talented you are. But, that's the goal. That's what we're working towards.
And that being said, Luke, is like, how big is this? I don't know how you feel about it. You've been in a couple now, but like, how big is this Cubs Sox series starting tomorrow?
Oh yeah, I'm excited for it. A part of me wished I could pitch in it, but it didn't shake out that way. I'm looking forward to it. Going over to Wrigley. It is gonna be a little different not having the fans there, but I know that the Chicago fans love to get up for this one, and hopefully we go out there and take care of business.
How you mentioned no fans out there for you individually? How has that adjustment been for you?
It's been okay. It doesn't really affect me during the game. When it gets down to it, you're pitching a big league game, and you need to go out there and do your job. So it's not too big of a deal, but I'm looking forward to having them back next year for sure.
Lucas Giolito for another minute on Waddle and Sylvie. So I was watching the post game on the television, and I couldn't totally tell. Are you wearing a Bulls jersey right now?
Yes, sir.
Is that for lottery luck tonight, or is that just... Yeah,
lottery day today, man. Got to get that good pick.
Now, is it who do you get? Do you have your name on the back, or is it a Bulls player's name?
Yeah, this is actually a jersey the Bulls made for me. It's got my name on the back and my number.
Very cool. Yeah. So what do you do then? You mentioned, look, you miss your wife, you miss your pet. Now you just won. It's not like you can go out and celebrate before tomorrow's game. So what does a Lucas Giolito do in the middle of COVID after striking out 13 players?
Go home, have a nice dinner, FaceTime the wifey, and then, just kind of relax, get back to video games. I still got a little bit of adrenaline pumping, so hopefully get some W's in Call of Duty tonight.
And, Lucas, overall, are you happy with how things have played out, not just specifically for you and the Sox, but, there were a lot of questions about whether or not Major League Baseball was going to be able to pull this off. Are you happy with the protocol and how everything has been followed?
I can only speak for our team and my personal experience. It's been great. Training staff, medical staff we have has done a wonderful job communicating with us. Our testing days, when we do go in and have our testing, it's been very seamless. We're in and out. We get back to our work. So we know, every single player in the locker room, we know what we need to do away from the field to stay as safe as possible. And so we can keep our eye on the prize.
Lucas, great job today. We always love talking to you. Enjoy tonight. Bring the Bulls some luck, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
there you
Lucas.
Go. Lucas Giolito. He's really good. And he's, Carmen and Yurko put him on a lot. And Sox fans should be very excited. And to hear a guy like that, I know, look, it's a big goal. But once you start rolling and once you start getting a little bit of momentum, to hear your ace pitcher say, the goal this year is – World Series, like I get it. It's one step at a time, and it's a rebuild still, but you're four above. It's a shortened season. You know how this goes too, Waddle. Survival of the fittest with injuries. You never know with some of the bats. And if they could get just a little more pitching, what this team can do.
By the way, I believe Tim Anderson will be joining Cap and Jay Hood tomorrow on their show.
Yeah. So. Boy, is he hitting.
Yeah.
Boy, is he hitting. So Sox win 9-0. If you want to weigh in, if you're a Sox fan and you want to talk about your excitement, is this a good thing that there's no fans in the stands? Because the fighting would be at a maximum, think. I mean, I would love 40,000 at Wrigley. Don't get me wrong, but this is two teams right now who have high hopes. So who's the better team in town? Is it the Cubs? Or is it the White Sox? And is Craig Kimbrell back on the north side? A couple of things that we'll discuss coming up next.
Look for the ComEd lower price sticker at participating retailers near you to save instantly on energy efficient LED bulbs from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/instantly.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Sox win. The Cubs were off, so both teams go into Cubs-Sox at Wrigley. Three-game set starting tomorrow. I believe the first game is Lester against Keuchel.
Let's get it on.
Got one of our friends who's a big Sox fan, Waddle, was texting me earlier today, very, very chesty, about the White Sox. Even though the Cubs have a big edge in the starting rotation this weekend versus the Sox, I'm feeling like this is going to be a passing of the torch, said our friend, where my guys send the big old message. Let me know if you'd like to wager on it. So I responded. I said, my team, you know, has a tendency to annoy me right now, you know, with their up and down scoring ways. And then he responded by saying, your team annoys me, too. You know, Sox fans are really chesty right now. So he is pitching this, Waddle. He is saying that we should bet $15 per game and $5 per run differential. So, you know, if we say the White Sox.
I would not do that if I was you.
Why?
Because I think there's a chance that the Sox could put a big one on you. And you may win 2 out of 3, but they may beat you 15-1.
Now, I do have, if I'm a Cubs fan, I have John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, and Yu Darvish on the mound. I mean, if I can't feel confident at home with those three.
Put your marbles on the table then. Let's go. Make the bet.
You just told me to take my marbles off the table.
Well,
though.
But then you said to me, this is who I have. So I said, put your marbles back on the table. Where do you want your marbles to be?
I don't know. That's why I was asking.
Put them on the table then.
This is going to be fun. This is exactly what we've been waiting for.
Put your marbles on the table.
Joe and Joliet would like a word with you. Joe, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Joe!
Tommy!
What's up, buddy?
Quick question for you.
Yeah.
Are these the same Tigers that beat the scat out of your Reds?
Yeah, the Reds stink, Joe.
Okay, well... Again, quick question for you.
Another quick question. Okay, I'll see if I can
How's the White
hand.
Sox pitching depth now?
How's
what
it now?
Now?
Dylan Cease has been much better the last 3 or 4 outings. I don't know what you're going to do when it's the 4th or 5th day, but Lucas Giolito.
Let's bring up another guy.
What's that?
Let's bring up another guy from Schaumburg, just like we did with Dudding.
Oh, okay. If you want to push all your chips into the middle of the table on another guy from Schaumburg, I'm not going to argue with you about that, Joe. Push him in. Push him in. Push them all in.
But since I haven't worked in 5 years, I don't have any chips left.
It's Joe. Listen, like it's a kind of a metaphor. It's it's just
I understand.
Saying, okay, I'm just saying. Like I mean, I'm not.
Well, it's like when I first called it, I was all in.
Put them all in. There you go. Like, Cease has given you a nice third option. Outside of that, Joe, my concern for you all along was depth in your rotation. And I still believe there is a depth in your rotation problem if you're a team that is legitimately competing for the top prize.
What did you think about Dunning yesterday?
Solid.
Yeah. More than solid.
Spectacular.
Top notch.
Cy Young Award winner.
Well, with the numbers he put up, yes. If he continues that.
Hey, it was a good first
Giolito
start.
And Keuchel.
Well, Giolito's start against the Cardinals wasn't so good the other day. I mean, this one was fabulous.
Well, why don't you talk behind his back after we had him on now, Waddle?
I'm talking to Joe.
He's had two bad
starts. I'm talking to Joe. I mean,
I didn't think
we sat Lucas down to analyze each and every one of his starts. We were talking about his start today.
Have one of your producers check whose catcher was. I think both the games was Grandel. Wasn't McCann, who he pitched well last year. It seems like every time McCann's behind the plate with either that's Keith like, or...
You know what, Joe? That's like blaming Allen Robinson for Mitch Trubisky's problems. McCann caught today.
Yeah, no, McCann did catch Giolito today. And McCann, McCann's been good again. I mean, a lot of people wanted to just brush him off to the side, but thank you.
Well, those were Cubs fans.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, now you want to get involved. Oh, Sylvie, now take over. I'm done. I'm exhausted. I'm going to go sit down over here. Now it's your turn.
Who's the better team, Joe? Is it the Cubs or the White Sox?
There's not a single thing that the Cubs do that the Sox don't do better.
Well, I think you could argue the starting pitching on that. I mean, now look, the Cubs have some depth issues too now all of a sudden with Chatwood on the shelf, with Alec Mills getting hit yesterday. Quintana is out.
Say, let's put Mills and Alce up there. Let's see how well they do.
I know. Look, I get it. Joe, thank you. Have a great night, okay? There goes Joe.
You played 20...
I can hear Black cackling.
Yeah.
Joe sounds.
You see?
Like,
they're going to get you.
Joe sounds like he used to be old timey baseball guy.
Yeah. Oh, or like a detective back in the day, you know?
You listen, be careful, Waddle. He'll come back here and he'll box your ears.
I don't want to run in my ears box.
You're against Giolito. You see?
The Cubs have had 14 quality starts out of their pitching staff, their starters, in 24 games. The Sox, I believe, have played 26 games. I believe they have 9.
Okay.
I still believe when we talk about... Listen, here's the issue now. We're not talking about baby steps anymore, right?
Right. Now we're talking about Lucas Giolito saying World Series.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Okay, well, your starting rotation, then, if I'm a Sox fan, is the one thing that still keeps me concerned. The depth of your starting rotation is the one thing that concerns me most. If, in fact, you're about to climb that steep mountain that leads you to the top where you get that thing of metal that the commissioner says is the trophy to win it all.
That's what I'm backing you up on.
Yeah.
When Lucas, look, it was supposed to be a fun season, if nothing else, for the White Sox.
Yes.
But we know how young teams go, and especially in a short season. If a young team can get momentum, and all of a sudden they start believing in themselves. I always compared it to, like, the Cubs in 15. They were not supposed to compete. They were a 66-win team the year before, and then all of a sudden a lot of things changed. And the next thing you knew, they were in the NLCS. So if you want to talk, do the White Sox have enough pitching to go in a deep, expanded postseason, I would still say that is a weakness in their arsenal.
That's all we're saying. We're not trying to pick fights with our fine listeners. Like, we can say, I can toss bouquets at all of you if you want. I got time. Okay? I'll go out and buy some flowers and toss bouquets at you. Or I can hand you a sandwich called reality. Okay?
Who is the better lineup?
The White Sox.
The White Sox, I believe, too.
Yeah.
The White Sox is better.
You can sit here and tell me that if you look at the back of their baseball cards, there are more accomplished Cubs hitters. But right now, I'm taking the White Sox.
We don't even know if Chris Bryant's coming
back.
Exactly.
I mean, Javi hasn't. I mean,
Javi's hitting like a .190.
Right. I mean, the bottom of your order has been more consistent, and Bodie's delivering.
Yes. Again last night.
Fisted one to center field.
We'll take it.
That's right. But I'm saying, like, what are you looking at me for, Bleck? That's exactly what happened. That wasn't a shot to center.
I thought it was going to strike out because the first two he just went right through.
Why did the Cardinal pitcher just throw him three straight fastballs? Like, I thought the Cardinals were poorly managed. Am I going to get all wonky on you right now? Like... Seriously.
You would like a word with Mike Schilt.
I thought Mike Schilt was bad yesterday. Am I right, guys? We were talking about this at a couple of the breaks.
You're right, yeah.
I mean, what were the couple of things they were doing? First of all, Flannery was out in two innings. I don't know, maybe he was a little sore or something wasn't going right. He used all of his pitchers.
You're talking about Flaherty in game one of the doubleheader.
Was it Flaherty? Yeah. What did I say, Flannery?
Yeah.
I was thinking Mike Flannery. He was reporting on the game.
Yeah.
Here in Chicago for one of the stations. And the other thing was, there was a play at second where Javi completely missed the tag. And Schilt is sitting into the dugout and just going, guess what? We got 5-1 lead. We don't need that run. Next guy up hits a double. It would have been 6-1. Now, I get it. Cardinals went on to win that game. It was inexplicable. that they didn't challenge that play. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. We got to talk, too, about Kimbrel. I want to get your thoughts on Kimbrel.
He's dealing.
Is he back? So we're getting you set for Cubs and White Sox tomorrow. Sox win today. We just did Lucas Giolito on. What are the possibilities for the White Sox? Are the Sox a better offensive team than the Cubs? Who's the better baseball team? 312-332-3776. Plus, we've got Bears conversation, the Bulls in the lottery tonight, some NBA chatter as well. We're back in 2 minutes, thanks to our friends at Legal Rideshare.